This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. Check us out at 7-5radio.org. Walter, are you with us tonight?
Yeah, I found my way in. Limo driver just dropped me off, so I'm good to go.
Outstanding. How are we doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty well.
Outstanding. Well, it's a little bit chilly here in our nation's capital, and we're getting some snow tomorrow. So everybody and the brothers at the store is just buying everything that's left on the shelves. Anyways, first order of business, as always, we want to remember members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we remember police officer Fernando Arroyos of the Los Angeles City Police Department in Los Angeles, California. He was off duty when three Hispanic men from the Florencia 13 gang walked up upon him on the 1700 block of East 87th Street. He took police action, so the LAPD is considered a line of duty death. Fortunately, all members that involved in this shooting of police officer Arroyos is in custody and unfortunately alive. Folks, if you're in law enforcement, if you're not law enforcement and you have the ability to do so, please carry concealed, carry it open. Please check with your state or jurisdiction or the commonwealth you live in and to see if you can carry, because it is sick out there and getting sicker. Next order of business, some sad news. In Yanadasis, New York, we want to say hello to the men and women of the Yanadasis Fire Department in Yanadasis, New York, and we are sad to report that the Hoot Nanny at the Roadkill Bar, Grill, and Taxidermy has been canceled due to health concerns from the New York State Department of Health. It turns out some of the products were being used as food. You have things called mystery stew, which we find out what's in the stew. Anyways, the Yanadasis Fire Department will be having another fundraiser sooner. Here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, it's a brand new day. The old governor, Ralph Northam, is no longer the chief executive for the Commonwealth. I have mixed reactions on Glenn Youngkin. We supported Glenn Youngkin. I voted for Glenn Youngkin, and I was actually at the Youngkin victory party the night the election results were called out. Anyways, he had he was sworn in today as Virginia's newest governor, and him and his staff hit the ground running. They came out with a numerous number of executive orders, including ending critical race theory in public schools. And he also outlawed schools making children wear masks. So public schools can no longer tell children to wear a mask or don't wear a mask. He's also promised to investigate the Loudoun County school system in Loudoun County, Virginia. You had a so-called transgender individual rape two female students. This so-called non-gender binary transgender piece of trash decided to rape two women with his male appendage, but we won't go into that. Some other things. He wanted to promise to prevent human trafficking and provide support to survivors. And he also withdrew from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is he does not buy into the global warming foolishness. And they have to call it climate change because you have snow. And the idea of global warming went out the window. So they call it climate change. We call it weather. But on the other, on the flip side, he also signed an executive order promising to establish a commission to combat anti-Semitism, which really perplexed me because we don't have a lot of anti-Semitic acts or anti-Semitic crimes or hate crimes against Jews in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I mean, we got a handful of Jews in Northern Virginia in the Norfolk area and the Hampton Roads, but it's not a major issue. What is a major issue is places like Norfolk, Newport News, Portsmouth, Virginia Beach, and Richmond, which is just absolute hellholes in terms of crime. Also, Governor Northam said it is the most diverse administration in history. I was like, well, here's the thing. People vote for you because you're better than Terry McAuliffe, and we want our schools back. The parents want control of their public schools. We're sick and tired of the overregulation that's happening in the Commonwealth of Virginia. People are actually moving to Maryland. They're sick and tired of the taxes, and they're sick and tired of the public school systems just ignoring the parents. We don't give a rat ass about the most diverse anything. It's not about diversity. It's like, hey, what can you do for us? And then driving to my other gig, the local news station here, WTOP, played a clip of Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, who is the first black female lieutenant governor in Virginia history. And she said that she's not from this country, is not from here, which is really disheartening because she is an elected official for the Commonwealth. So, you know, now I have mixed messages or mixed feelings about the new governor of Virginia. You know, it's great he did some things, and now he's talking foolish. And now the lieutenant governor says she's not from here, she's not from this country, but she wants to talk to people who are also not from here. But, well, what say you about the new governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Well, you know, like any other politician that takes over, you know, left, right, or in the middle, day one is always an itinerary to sign things in and get rid of other things. I'd like to see what he's going to do, you know, on his own. They had a picture of the new lieutenant governor on Facebook somewhere today, and I went by it so fast. You know, it was like one of those subliminal messages. I saw it, and when I went back to find it, I couldn't. They had her standing there with an M16. What's going to come is going to come quickly, I believe. We are in the middle of the campaigns for the midterm elections. So 2022 is off to a good start with this new governor of Virginia.
Right. But anyways, coming up next, we'll talk about another elected official who's not as qualified as Governor Northam. Also, the new U.S. Navy sinks again, and also we say goodbye to a legend. Stay tuned, everybody, on 75 Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We're going to call this segment, We Told You So Again. Dateline New York City. His Honor, Eric Adams, justified hiring his brother, Bernard, for the NYPD at a cost of about $200,000 payable from the taxpayers of Gotham. Adams' brother is also retired from NYPD and will be in charge of the mayor's safety detail and will protect Mayor Adams from white supremacists. Can't speak. Yep, let me say that again. Bernard Adams is in charge of his brother's protective detail and will look out for white supremacists in New York City. I am not making this up. Anyways, for whatever reason, Mayor Adams thinks white supremacists are in New York City and out to get them. Mayor Adams needs to realize that white people are moving out of this city in droves. They're sick of New York becoming the blank hole that it is. Secondly, white supremacists are not out killing people like they did in the last century. It's not like the movie Mississippi Burning or In the Heat of the Night, where you got a bunch of rednecks in a pickup truck just lynching black people, especially in New York City. And if some nut job like Dylan Roof wanted to do something against people of color, they would pick a soft target, not the mayor of New York in his protective detail consisting of New York's finest. And then you got white supremacists. They're watching Eric Adams fail as mayor of New York, just like they watched Bill de Blasio fail as New York is turning into the blank hole I talked about before. And anyways, Eric Adams is the second black mayor of the city of New York. I should know this because I actually ate breakfast with the first black mayor of the city of New York at Gracie Mansion. But anyways, Mayor Adams probably believed Jesse Smollett when he said he was attacked by two MAGA-wearing white dudes in the middle of a polar vortex at 2 o'clock in Chicago. But anyways, we tried to warn you, New York. We said vote for Kirk Sliwa. You know, he's a little bit odd. He's very self-absorbed, self-centered, says some wacky things. He's a wacky individual. But we told him, give him a chance because you're going to be sorry when you vote for Eric Adams because – when Eric Adams was rising up in the police department and I was walking out of the police department or actually being shown the door of one police plaza, he had a thing against white people, the commissioner and the mayor of New York. So things hasn't changed in 25 years. Well, any comments about His Honor?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, the guy is elected mayor. It's not a small feat, okay? It's not a small feat. If you're Democrat and you run for mayor in New York these days, you're going to win. I don't care who you are or if you say you're Democrat. However, he is proving he has his own personal agenda. He's, like you said, he's hired his brother and, you know, to guard him against white supremacists and stuff. Well, you know, not to take sides with the white supremacy movement. I'm not about that. But the best practical joke to play on somebody is to not play the practical joke. In other words, what I'm trying to say is it's this mayor's own fears that are he's surrounding himself with. He's making himself a target. He's saying he's a target. He's not making himself a target. He's saying he's a target by having this entourage of anti-white supremacist bodyguard team. And, you know, as a non-white supremacist, speaking for myself, I'm laughing at this guy. You know, he's just stupid. And what is more stupid is the dumb sons of beeps that are feeding into it. You know, the brown community, the black community, even the Democrat white community are feeding into it. That, yeah, he needs protection. We all need protection. We need protection. And, you know, the real people are moving out. You know, real people don't wish this guy any bad will. Just go and run your damn city, run it into the ground. You know, don't stop where de Blasio stopped. You know, keep it going. Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. Because, you know, I could see in Brooklyn neighborhoods, I got people in Brooklyn, the Bronx, Staten Island, you know, Queens, not so many in Manhattan anymore because they've all moved out. The city is surrounded. Manhattan is surrounded, I would say, mostly conservatives. They're not necessarily Republican, but they're conservatives. The heart of the matter is in Manhattan. And if anybody has seen Escape from New York, that's what Manhattan's going to be. It's going to be a place that nobody wants to go, and the people that are living there are glad that you don't want to go there. Just let them run it. Let them run it. You know, take the bridges down, fill up the tunnels with water, and just leave them there. You know, just leave them there. Because that's exactly what they want. That's exactly what they want. They want to put themselves in a prison so they're not, so they can't be touched by the outside world, you know, whatever they think the outside world represents. So this guy is already proven that he's a dumbass. You know, of course, he was a New York City police officer, but, you know, there are cops and there are cops and there are cops. You know, he wasn't a cop like me, which we all know, you know, how I turned out. He wasn't a cop like, I don't know who I would put on a pedestal, but he's the third kind of cop. He's the dick that you don't want to deal with. So, and now he's a mayor that nobody wants to deal with. And, you know, I wish him luck. You know, I wish him luck. You know, do your 5 or 6 years and, you know, run again. But it's going to be different in 5 or 6 years, I assure you.
Right, because it's going down even further because Manhattan has voted a ultra-liberal left-wing DA who just wants to let these people run amok. He's not going to charge people misdemeanors. He's not going to charge – unless you commit like a serious felony, he's not going to charge you. So, you know, Giuliani had it right. He's like, we're going to go after the quality of life issues, people panhandling, people in the subways, people, the squeegee men in the street. You know, these people have warrants. These people have narcotics. Some of them have weapons. We're going to get them off the street. And for whatever reason, this DA for New York County, i.e. Manhattan, just doesn't care. He must live in a building on Manhattan Island that has a doorman 24 hours a day, because Manhattan, that's just like the an area just for the ultra wealthy. They have doormen, they have security, they have private cars to take them from point A to point B. They don't deal with the people in the subway. They don't deal with the people crapping the streets. But, you know, and then you're right, absolutely right. They don't want the tourists coming into Manhattan, you know, putting up Olive Garden or Applebee's on Manhattan Island, because it's precious Manhattan Island, and it's going, you know, it keeps going backwards. And I don't want to... You know, I do understand it because, like, oh, here's another progressive African American we can vote for. Who's a Democrat? Because you're absolutely right. That's all I do is vote Democrat. Rudy Giuliani got lucky twice when he got elected mayor, and then Mike Bloomberg, he ran on Rudy's coattails in 2001, and then won three terms, even though you're supposed to run for two terms. But it's New York is sick and getting sicker. And mind you, folks, I love the city of New York. It's the home of my birth. It's the birthplace of Walter Yurkiew. We love the city. We just want it to prosper like everywhere else. But
you know, you can no longer call Broadway the Great White Way.
Right, right. It's the Great African American Way. But anyway, coming up,
you know, everybody knows what Soho is. Now it's so long.
Right. Anyways, coming up, we'll talk about go down Scoop's memory lane again with the U.S. Navy. They went from bad to worse. But stay tuned, everybody. Check us out, 75radio.org. Take away, boys.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
One of four hostages being held by a man at a Jewish synagogue during an hours-long standoff near Dallas was released unharmed. The male hostage was released shortly after 5 p.m., nearly 6 hours after the drama at the Congregation Beth Israel in Colleyville, Texas began. The FBI is currently in negotiations with the hostage taker. Three people still remain inside the synagogue. The Biden administration and Governor Greg Abbott say they're closely monitoring the situation. The hostage taker is demanding the release of convicted terrorist Afia Sadiq, who is currently jailed at Carswell Air Force Base near Fort Worth, Texas. She was at one time one of the FBI's most wanted terrorists and was sentenced to 86 years in prison for shooting at U.S. troops while being held in Afghanistan. This is USA Radio News.
Friends, it's John and Chelsea Jubilee, and Happy New Year 2022, the year of revolution. That's right, it is revolution time. I want you to declare a revolution for new health, for new vitality, for new energy, for the greatest relationship, for the greatest intimacy you've ever had in your life by declaring a revolution. Let's get rid of those medications. Let's get rid of that fat. Declare a revolution. Thousands of people have made this revolution in their life and changed their life and health forever.
Yeah, women, let's get rid of those hormone issues. Let's get rid of our sleep problems. Let's be a better spouse or just a better us.
That's it. Log on today, EnergizeHealth.com, EnergizeHealth.com.
Or call us at 888-444-8895. That's 888-444-8895.
Revolution 2022, EnergizeHealth.com.
Efforts by the White House to pass federal voting rights legislation went nowhere in the Senate after two Democrats made it clear they wouldn't approve changes to the filibuster. Senate Republican Roger Wicker of Mississippi.
Thank heaven for Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema this past week for withstanding the browbeating, the unbelievable pressure that they got from their caucus.
A fire broke out at an industrial complex in New Jersey. The fire broke out just after 8 at Majestic Industries in Passaic. No injuries were immediately reported. Smoke from the fire billowed across the Hudson River into New York City and more than 50 miles into the Atlantic. Majestic Industries manufactures furniture for casinos. Flames spread to an adjoining building used by Qualco, but didn't reach the chlorine pellets that are manufactured there. You're listening to USA Radio News.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. It is 7-5 Radio. We are live. It is January the 15th, 2022, or whatever date you're listening to the show. Anyways, I want to talk about the U.S. Navy. The U.S. Navy helped me put my life back together. After I was let go from New York's finest, I was bouncing around from job to job. I was in a bad relationship, had no money, and just life going nowhere. So nothing much changed in 20 plus years. But anyways, the U.S. Navy helped me achieve my dream or my bucket list, visiting Père Lachaise Cemetery. But anyways, Google Père Lachaise to find out who's buried there. But I've also had some great times. Met some just wonderful people. I still remain in contact. Also, I learned a lot. I used to tell my father that I learned more in 2 years in the Navy than in 4 years of college. Because I'll be the first one to say college is very overrated. But anyways, while I was going through training, basic training, and then off to school, I saw where the Navy was headed. The Navy told me about Dory Miller and Martin Brashear and the Golden 13, and they always mentioned that these men were black. You know, Dory Miller was a cook who shot down a Japanese aircraft during the attack at Pearl Harbor. Martin Brashear was the first black Navy diver, and the Golden 13 are the first 13 black commissioned officers. And then every drawing, illustration, or picture was a woman and or people of color in them for uniforms or performing a task or what have you. And one thing I did not learn while going through my time in the U.S. Navy was the USS Liberty. Look that up, USS Liberty. And one of my biggest complaints was that boot camp was not hard enough. Yeah, boot camp, they yell, scream, and yelling, they do push-ups and this, that, and other thing, but again, they weren't hard enough on the people that you knew were going to be screwing up. It was very easy to tell who's going to be an asset to the Navy and who's going to be a problem. Now the Navy has gone full woke. The Navy is extending basic training 2 more weeks at a cost of millions of dollars to the taxpayers. So you're paying another 2 more weeks of salary, training, and so on and so forth. But some of the issues will include suicide prevention, sexual assault, don't do it, hazing, don't do it, and, of course, racism. Anyway, the Navy has reported this extension of basic training as a personal development improvement. But leave it to the Daily Mail from the UK and a bunch of other sources that they're going to learn about racism, sexual assault, and so on and so forth. But anyways, the Navy has been going downhill for years, and now they're speeding up the process. But if they're going to stay in boot camp for 2 more weeks, they need to work on damage control, which is shipboard firefighting, which I was a damage controlman, because you had recently the USS Bonhomme Richard had a ventilation fire, which cost over $1 billion worth of damage, and the ship is now being scrapped. Yep, a U.S. naval vessel had a massive fire. It took 5 days to put out, and now it's being scrapped, which is just an absolute embarrassment. The USS Cole was hit on its left side or port side, the big hole in it, and guess what? They repaired it. It's still in service today. So, or they need to learn about navigation, because you had two surface ships, which ships that float on top, run into each other, or you had a submarine that run into some rocks underwater. But the Navy could save both time and money if they just simply better screen people coming in. Because again, as a boot, I saw who's going to be a screw up, who's going to be a piece of trash, and who's going to do great things for this country. And anyways, the Navy has signed some real winners. They even assigned a kid who is semi retarded. I kid you not. I know the kid. I went to high school with his brother. He's not all there. He has some mental deficiencies, but he got in. So anyways, I don't think China or Russia is going to invade the United States, because there's nothing there to take over. Well, what say you about the woke Navy?
Well, you know, I'm all about training. The millennials and people I'm gonna get emails over this. The millennials, which my son is one of, the school system has failed them. They failed the millennials that are of age now, you know. And I get it that if you join an armed service, you know, any one of the six branches of our armed service, I'm all about the training. Even if it's under the guise of, you know, the four topics you discussed, to get to the point of what their extra training is, which is racism, so they can say that they do it. I wish police departments around the country would do a little bit more in training. I get it. And I understand that we are right now a weak nation. We're not anywhere near as strong as we were in the 80s during the Reagan era. The war knocked the crap out of us over in the Middle East, you know, after the 9/11 issue. It just caught us with our pants down because we had Bubba in the White House from 92 to 2000. And Mr. Bush really came in, and he never really had a chance to be president, going right into a war. And then when, you know, we tried to rebuild and make America strong again, the ridiculousness that happened in the 2020 election. So, I get it that this is where we are now. And if they think more training is going to make, you know, what did we call that in the police academy? Social science? That's pretty much what the training is about. It's about, you know, social adaptability on how to handle, you know, yourself in the social world, inside the armed forces, in this case, the Navy. I didn't join the armed forces. I went straight into school and straight into work and then straight into the police academy. So I didn't even consider joining the armed forces in the late 70s, because we weren't in a good place back then either. But I just think that it's because we have this White House team, so to speak, and that's why we're getting kind of soft on doing stupid things. You know, teach them how to shoot, teach them how to kill. That's what they need to do, because they're going to go in a war. They're going to be in a war very soon.
Do I
shoot this guy? He's Muslim. He's brown. Do I shoot him? I don't know. What did the racism class say? You know, what did the bias car say? You know, in the 80s, we had what we called the bias car. I don't know if you remember that far back. We had the bias auto. It was a car that responded to alleged racial incidents. Now, hell, I worked in East New York, Brooklyn. There was no racial divide. The only white people that were in the 7-5 were the cops. So I don't know. It's just stupid. Yeah, it's stupid.
Right. And you know what? They talk about sexual assault because they got too many sailors sexually assaulting other sailors. You know, and they're going to talk about hazing, which, you know, it's an unwritten rule because once you get promoted, no tacking on the crow, or once you get your wings or whatever special piece of metal above your ribbons, tacking on the wings, tacking on your ESWAS or whatever they call it, because that was what they call it, enlisted surface warfare specialist qualified. That got tacked on. But they also want to talk about racism. When would they talk about, you know, white on black crime? But, you know, I was part of the engineering department where we had majority of black people, and we don't have time to sit there and worry about racism, because there's maintenance to do on these engines. There's there's toilets that need to be fixed. There's, you know, we got to get the hotel services, heating, ventilation, electricity, telephone stuff. I mean, they don't have time to worry about that. Or the ships out to sea, you got the people in the OCC. operational central control, keeping eyes and ears, making sure nobody's coming to attack us. Or if we have to put warheads on foreheads, all right, we got to go to this location and launch missiles. I mean, but they want, you know, they want to make something that's not there. I remember when I got my ESWAS cutlass, they call it a cutlass, my commanding officer is a white guy who I detested. My leading chief petty officer, she tacked it on. She was black, and I thanked her a lot, and I loved her to death. But anyways, when we come back, we'll say goodbye to legend and talk a couple of tidbits of what's going on. Stay tuned, everybody. 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
If the COVID-19 shot is safe and effective, then why are 20% of healthcare workers refusing to get it? If the COVID-19 injection is safe and effective, then why is big tech silencing anyone who opposes it? If the COVID injection is safe and effective, then why is our federal government's reporting system recording over 14,000 deaths from the vaccine and an additional 650,000 plus serious adverse reactions? If the COVID shot is safe and effective, then why did Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, recognized as one of the world's chief vaccine experts, risk his entire career and his reputation to plead with the medical community to immediately halt all COVID-19 vaccinations, calling mass COVID vaccinations an uncontrollable monster? Doesn't sound very safe and effective. Maybe it's time to call a spade a spade. At no time in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Again, this is the fastest hour in talk radio. Last segment. Anyways, first we want to remember a truth teller. 75 Radio and all the programming out here on Liberty News Radio is part of the truth business. Colin Flaherty was also in the truth business and did it very well, but he was called home to the Lord this week after a fight with cancer. Anyways, Flaherty was a free spirit and also was a Democrat for a very long time, but he was someone who always searched for the truth and saw that the media ignored black crime in America. So he took up the cause and reported black crime in America, and he did it very well. Before he pulled off, he got pulled off of YouTube for telling the truth. He was making an average of $12,000 a month in YouTube clips, in viewership and monetization. But anyways, besides YouTube clips and podcasts, he wrote books with titles that just said it all. One of them is called Don't Make the Black Kids Angry, and another one is called White Girl Bleeds a Lot. Anyways, he appeared all over independent media, including Political Cesspool and the precursor to 75 Radio, Red 42. And if you go to the website, you can look up the archives with Colin Flaherty and Red 42 with myself and Jim Lancia. But the best piece he did was a report on the LAPD shooting in the projects where police officers was shot by a third person not involved in a foot chase. But Flaherty put together a video with the camera footage, the radio footage of the officer being shot, numerous camera footage. And then another officer wrote to Flaherty about the incident and tells what goes on in the daily life of a street cop. And it just is read by another radio personality and just absolutely jaw-dropping. But again, if you come to the website, you can watch it for yourself. I mean, every cop in America need to watch this because it is just ridiculous what goes on in the streets of America. But anyways, Kyle Flaherty is now in heaven having a stogie and a drink, and hopefully he tells God we need some help down here. Moving right along, speaking of black crime, this week earlier, ESPN during the daytime was talking about the NFL playoffs and eight teams that are looking for coaches, as those eight teams did lousy this season. Then this panel of three people, one of them was black, one of them was white. I think the third person was white. We're talking about the Rooney Rule, where teams must interview at least one black person for a coaching position, as 79% of the NFL is black. You know what? There's just not enough diversity in the NFL. 80% of the people play in the NFL is black. So the dopey white guy was adamant, yelling and screaming, saying that black people need to be hired as coaches of the NFL because 79% of the players already are black. Well, anyways, dopey nerd guy, there are no Asian head coaches, no women head coaches in the NFL, and no transgender head coaches in the NFL. Now, if we want to be pushing more black people in the NFL as head coaches, well, why not Asians and women and trainees and freaks of nature and dogs and you know, everybody under the rainbow? I mean, but let's face it. You know, people would be happy with a Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells or a Tom Landry or Vince Lombardi coaching, as long as the team keeps winning. But anyways, you know, if you had, say, Vince Lombardi keep winning every year and he drops N-bombs till the cows come home, as long as his team is winning, they don't care. But anyways, that's why I turned off sports long, long time ago. Because of this foolishness, you know, like I said last week, you know, people used to watch sports to get away from it all. Now we just get away from sports. Well, any comment about the coaching head coach finding rule in the NFL?
You know, it's like I keep referring to my beloved New York City Police Department back in the 70s and 80s. Didn't have enough colored enough African-American bosses, you know, sergeants on up. And, well, they started giving curves on the sergeant's exam, the lieutenant's exam, captain's exam. And if you were black and you made captain, you were sure as hell going to make deputy inspector because you didn't have to take a test. A lot of animosity I had during the 80s with the police department was that although I passed the sergeant's test before I was arrested, I wasn't made sergeant. But I know other guys that I was in the police academy with, and they come right up and they said, man, I frigged up that test, and they were made boss. So, you know, I'm not with the push the
push the race hard to just to give them a job. You know, if you earn it, you earn it. If you don't earn it, you don't get it. It doesn't matter. You got Mike Tomlin over there in Pittsburgh. He hasn't had a losing season in 15 years. Guy knows his business, right? Then you get, other people that become coaches, and they don't know spit from Shinola. So it's about what you know, not what color you are. So let's just leave it at that.
Right, but that's the woke NFL. I mean, they got Black Lives Matter on their helmets, and we're all in this together on the sidelines. In the beginning of the season, they said, let's all sing together or lift your voices and sing. It's supposedly the Black National Anthem, but it was written by a white guy. And, you know, the NFL gave money to Black Lives Matter causes. I mean, I really hope NFL just...
Hey. I don't think I've ever heard the Black National Anthem. I thought it was going to be, We Are Family, by Sister Sledge,
Right.
I never really heard the Black National Anthem. I didn't know the Blacks had their own country. I didn't know they had their own country. So are we going to be listening to the Chinese American National Anthem now, or can we read that on the menu?
I don't know, but it's just sick and getting sicker. Like ESPN, they're just, it's nothing but politics, but they got with a sprinkling of sports. I mean, if you remember, was it last year, whenever John Gruden got in trouble, you had Randy Moss sitting there for 14 years in the NFL, literally crying over emails that didn't mention him. It had some off-color jokes and some talked about, rightfully talked about Roger Goodell in the NFL and some off-color humor. Then you had a lady try to outcry Randy Moss. So she had nothing to do with the conversation, but she's sitting there trying to cry a crocodile tears about what's going on. And then Rex Ryan just sitting there doing nothing because he knows if he says something, then he's out of another job. But I don't know where we're going. But I don't know where we're going, but I don't want to get there because we're getting there pretty darn fast. Walt, last couple of minutes, you got anything you want to put out there?
Yeah. These home tests for COVID and Omicron and all this other nonsense. You can't get a straight answer out of that bimbo, and her boss isn't, can't get a straight answer out of him. The only answers you can get is maybe from Jill covering for that dumbass. But hey, it's all about how you feel about yourself. I think the general American public are tired of the misinformation. The redirection of all these rules that people come up with and say, no, that's not right. No, you don't have to wear a mask. Yeah, wear a mask. Wear two masks. Don't congregate, at your house. I think in the majority, in a general way, the public, even the vaxxed people, and which of one I'm not, even the vaxxed people are fed up with why did I get all them vaccinations if I got to still wear a damn mask? It's just not, it's gone on too long. And it's like, if there's a big news show like on, and I hate to use the term CNN or even Fox or MSNBC, when there's a big catastrophe and they have nothing to talk about, they just talk about ridiculousness. That's where we are with this COVID scare. We're at the point where they're just dusting people off to put a new face on TV to say wear a mask. And I've noticed that with a lot of local news stations, they find their own doctors to come up and say stuff. So take it away and end the show for us, buddy.
All right, we got another one in the can for Walter Yerkew. This is Peter Scoop Stanton reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.
This